You can take your seats this morning. It is so good to see you. Fantastic. Before we go any further, and before we kind of begin to springboard into the sermon this morning, I would like to place on massive record this morning my appreciation to the man behind the camera. Will. Will has risen and traveled above and beyond any expectation. And there's a lovely little verse in the New Testament. It says this: and there was a man sent by God, and his name was John. If I had the liberty this morning to rewrite those few sentences, I would put this: and there was a man sent by God, and his name was Will. I really would. How many in our setting this morning have enjoyed the video casts and all of the stuff that Will's put together for us? Guys, that's the best response we've had in this church for many years. It really is. And if I was an evangelist now, I would claim every one of those souls for the kingdom of God. But also, I'd like to put on record as well my gratitude and thanks to Gary, because Gary's done a lot of work behind the scenes as well. Thank you, Gary, for that. And I could spend the next 15, 20 minutes actually thanking everybody, but I'm not going to do that. We'll do that at another stage, because there have been so many that have helped. But I've really enjoyed preaching to an empty room. And just preaching to a camera, that there's a dynamic to it, and it draws something out of you. But this morning, I feel like a nursery little lad going to nursery for the very first time. And all of a sudden, all of the nerves have kind of re-hit the heart, and I'm feeling a little bit nervous this morning, but I know that you're going to smile for me behind your masks, okay? I'm assuming you're smiling, okay? If you're, or just kind of just give me a bit of a wink, if you want to give me a wink. Oh, that's a lovely wink, Sally. Thank you very much. But last week, Jordan started a teaching series for us, and the teaching series was entitled God's Grand Design. John has followed that teaching series on with part two of that, talking about foundation. And this morning, I have the opportunity to bring part three. Now, I can already see your minds beginning to tick. When did we hear John preach? Well, if you were at home now, you'd be watching him on television this morning. So you need to leave this service and go home and watch part two. But you're already having part three. It's a complicated world we live in. It really is. But I want you, if you brought your Bibles this morning, to open your Bibles to Psalm 127, 127. And it reads very simply this morning: unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and you stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those who he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, the children born to him in his youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them, and they will not put him to shame when they contend for their opponents in court. I just want to focus this morning a little bit on that one verse. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. We are all building a house. Can I substitute the word house this morning for the word life? We're all building a life. We're all building lives. And we all know that really well-known story or parable, which is described in Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 6. When it begins to talk about the two building contractors, or the two individuals who purposed in life to go and build something. And we realize that what they built was dependent upon the foundation of what they built upon. There was Mr. Wise, who built his house upon the rock, and there was Mr. Foolish, who built his house upon the sand. And what we see in the context of this story is this, that circumstance and situation happened to both parties. Just because one built on the rock and one built on the sand didn't kind of determine that bad things would only happen to one and good things would happen to the other. No, everything happened to both of them. And what we see in the story here is that rain, stream, and winds beat against it. But we notice that the outcome was distinctly different. And the key to the outcome was simply this. It says, he who hears my words and puts my words into application or applies the words will build his or her house upon the foundation of the rock. And that's really important. And John spoke about that for us in part two. And I just want to reemphasize this morning that the knowledge of the word is not good enough. Having a knowledge of the word, you may feel is good enough, it's not good enough. What we have to have is knowledge and application of the word. And when knowledge and application of the word come together, we then have this sure foundation that we can build upon. And I don't know about you, but recent times have proven to me the truth and the integrity of God's word. As I've built my life upon the word, as I've journeyed through the storms and the beating of the winds and the rising of the floods over the course of the last X number of months, it's been the truth of God's word that has kept me on track. And it's the truth of God's word that has kept this church on track. But this morning, I want to spend the next 15 minutes on focusing on from foundation to formation. We're going to build upon the foundation that has been laid for us. It's about the house or the life beginning to take shape. It's about you and I beginning to position walls in the formation of the house. Because you see, we need to take care when it comes to how we build life. There are some dodgy builders out there, aren't there? They're called cowboy builders. And we are not wanting to build a cowboy type of Christian faith, but we're building upon a solid foundation. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes to a church in Corinth and says this, build with care. And then begins to challenge the listener of the local church. He says this, I want you to build your life with costly gold and costly silver and costly stone. And I don't want you to build with wood, hay, and straw. But what I've discovered is this, that we only determine or discover what we've built our life with over the course of time. The test of time, the course of time begins to reveal to us what materials we're building our life with. I did a little bit of research, and Mr. Google says this, that if you're building a house, there are different types of walls that you build in your house or apply in your house. There are load-bearing walls, and there are non-load-bearing walls. Let's just focus on that for a few moments. A load-bearing wall is a wall that has the ability and the capacity to carry weight and to carry load. And a load-bearing wall supports the weight of the entire structure. But a non-load-bearing wall is a wall that doesn't have the capacity to carry weight. It can only carry its own weight. And as we begin to build our lives a house by God's grand design, we need to begin to determine what type of walls we're building into our lives. Are we building load-bearing walls, or are we building non-load-bearing walls? Because the outcome will determine the result. I began to think about these load-bearing walls, because I want to build a life that supports other things as well. And one of the load-bearing walls that I believe that we need to introduce into the DNA and to the making of life is simply this. It is simply the greatest commandment. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 says this, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. Guys, that's a load-bearing wall that we've got to build into the fabric of building God's grand design in our lives. You see, Jesus, in the statement of the great commandment, he takes the 613 laws and commandments in the Old Testament and he shrinks them all together and comes out of the other end with two. And the two is a simple, this is what I want you to focus your life upon. Love God and love people. Love God and love people. A load-bearing wall for every one of us in this room today is simply this. What's the focus of your affection? I want you to write that down if you brought your notepads. What's the focus of your affection? We need to focus. What's the load-bearing wall going to be? Is it going to carry any weight? And it has to be love God and love people. You see, Jesus understood the importance of affections because our affection determines our devotion. It really does. And affections and devotions are like the currents in life that steer us through life. It's like the rudder on a ship that brings direction to the ship. And also, our affections follow our treasure. It says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, that our heart is where our treasure is. So our affections are aligned to our treasures. And this morning, as we build life with God at the center as a load-bearing wall for us, can I encourage those in the room with me this morning and those watching through the video cast this week, can I encourage you to create God, put God at the center of your life? It's a load-bearing wall. It really is. You see, God's not an extra bit. He's not an attachment to. He's not a partition wall. He's a load-bearing wall that helps us carry the weight through life. Does that make sense this morning? Another load-bearing wall I want to talk about for a few moments is simply this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter. The love chapter. It's the chapter that many talk about in marriages and relationships. Love is patient, love is kind. But when we begin to get to the tail end of that chapter, it says this, that these three things remain. Faith, hope, and love. Can I state in this room this morning that that's another load-bearing wall? Faith, hope, and love. The problem is, when I talk about remains, oftentimes we have a negative picture of the word remains. We kind of think of ruins and run-down kind of buildings, and we kind of say, that's the remains of that. It's the remains of something that once had some former glory. It's the remains of a castle or a dynasty. But when the Bible talks about remains, it doesn't refer to rubble or worn out or only just standing. But the word remain in the Bible talks about existing through it all, to endure the test of time, to be outstanding in its time and its place. So when the Bible talks about these three things remain, we need to realize that it's important to have faith, hope, and love as a load-bearing wall in our lives. You see, the Apostle Paul, once again, he said this, I have fought the good fight, I have run the race, and I have kept the faith. He held on to it. He had remained through it, through all of his testing and all of his trials. You see, faith breeds confidence. And confidence is really important. Hope breeds expectation. Really important. And love breeds life. And that's why they have to be load-bearing walls in our lives that maintain the weight of life and we can build upon. Faith, hope, and love are the perpetual circle or cycle of life, never ending, continuing constantly and consistently in our life. Am I making sense this morning? The third and the final load-bearing wall for us this morning is Proverbs chapter 9. I love the book of Proverbs. It gives you so much insight and wisdom. It helps us navigate through every aspect of life. But Proverbs chapter 9 verse 1 says this, that wisdom builds her house. She has honed out seven pillars. Seven pillars. Wisdom has built her house. Can I ask the gentleman in this room this morning, why is wisdom described as a her? Don't answer the guys. You'll get yourselves into trouble if you answer that question, especially you, Mark Slaney. You'll get yourself into trouble. But I want you to understand this, that wisdom needs to be a load-bearing wall in our life. Wisdom, common sense, needs to be a load-bearing wall. You see, Solomon had the opportunity to request from the authorities, from God, anything that he wanted. He could have asked for wealth and riches. He could have asked for palaces. He could have asked for horses and chariots. He could have asked for success. But on the moment of God asking him, "What do you want?" he looked back to God and said this, "Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom and give me knowledge that I may lead this people." Throughout the book of Proverbs, it talks about getting wisdom. It talks about getting knowledge and getting understanding. And wisdom needs to be part of the DNA of our lives. It needs to be part of the ingredients of life. It's a component of life and it needs to be a pillar. Listen quickly because I'm going to conclude with these thoughts and the team are going to come back on platform and lead us in our closing song this morning. Wisdom has honed out seven pillars. These seven pillars this morning can be load-bearing walls for us. Firstly, it's purity. Purity needs to be a load-bearing wall in your life and my life. It talks about integrity. The second one needs to be peace-loving. It needs to be a load-bearing wall, guys. Peace-loving and peacemaking. The Bible talks about blessed are the peacemakers. But I want you to know this. It's not just the peacemakers. It's the peacekeepers as well. Consideration is another load-bearing wall. Consideration is having a gentleness of spirit and an understanding about the persons that are in our lives. Submission needs to be part of the load-bearing walls. It talks about humility and a Christ-like spirit. Another ingredient on the wall that I want to talk about is it needs to be full of mercy. Mercy needs to be part of our lives. Mercy, it is about bearing good fruit. We need to be impartial when it comes to building life and building a house. And we need to be sincere. Sincerity. When we're sincere, it means that we are living life without hypocrisy. And wisdom built her house. And as we begin to build God's grand design for us over the course of the next few weeks, that will lead maybe to a month and a half, I don't know. We need to say, "God, what is your design for me? Because you've got a design for me. And I'm building on the foundation that you have laid, but I'm being intentional when it comes to building some strong, load-bearing walls." You see, the foundation's important, but also the formation's important. And next week, we look at another part because we've gone from foundation to formation, and next week, we will go from formation to function. Are you excited about what God's doing in your life? Because God's doing something. he really is. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads as we begin to conclude our service this morning. And I want you to begin to just, in the quietness of your own space this morning, begin to ask God to deposit that dream inside of you. God, give me, give us a dream. God, help me examine the foundations I'm building life upon. God, help me highlight the load-bearing walls that I need to build into my life. Father, we pray that over our congregation this morning. All of God's people said, blessed, encouraged, ready to are you ready to worship God in your quietness, in your whispering, in your humming, in the raising of your hands? Come on, let's stand to our feet as John leads us out this morning.